This is Diana O'Carroll, who's joined us actually in the studio for this week's question of the week.
Right, well, this week we've got a bit of a slippery one.
Hi, this is Robin. I'm calling from California in the USA. I had a question about electric eels. I was wondering how do they themselves do not get hurt by the electric shocks that they use to communicate or stun prey? And since they're in water, how far does the current carry?
So, can an eel generate 500 volts without cooking itself? Well, here's the answer.
I'm Dr. Mark Briffer, and I'm a lecturer in marine biology at the University of Plymouth. First of all, an electric eel isn't really an eel. It's a member of a family of fish called gymnotids, or knife fish, and the scientific name is rather aptly Electrophorus electricus. In most animals, electric currents are used in nerves to carry information and to control muscle movements, and what makes fish like electric eels special is that they can exploit this property of muscle tissue and discharge bursts of electric current into the surrounding water. And they do this using an electric organ made out of modified muscle tissue in the tail. If electric eels can generate these strong discharges, what stops them from electrocuting themselves? Well, first of all, the electric organs are in the flanks of their tail, and this means that the discharge occurs closer to the water than to the eel's internal organs. And since water is more conductive than body tissue, the charge travels away from the eel. There's a second possibility, and that's that because the discharge is very quick, the current doesn't flow for long enough to shock an animal as large as an electric eel. But for its prey, which are usually smaller fish, the short burst is enough to shock and stun, or sometimes even kill them. So electric eels are unlikely to cause a damaging electric shock to humans, but it's still not going to be a very pleasant experience to be on the receiving end of one, and an impressive 2-metre-long pet electric eel probably isn't a very good idea. It's quite difficult to work out how far the discharge will travel, but prey being stunned or killed up to a distance of 2 metres away from the eel have been reported.
So the important bits of the eel are located as far away from the electric organ as possible. Dr. Carl Hopkins from Cornell University also told us that the eel's vital organs are surrounded by a fatty layer, which acts as an insulator.
We've also had a comment on the forum by Sophie Centaur on how engineers get around a similar problem in radars. They put in diodes, which are one-way valves for electricity, which will stop that big shock coming back from the radar into the sensitive electronics. But I've never heard of a diode in a fish, so it's probably not how eels do it.
Yeah, that's quite a novel way of looking at it, I think. Anyway, back to the more human method of communication, writing.
Hi, this is Thomas from Uttlesford, and I'm a science teacher. This is my question. What is the smell of old books? The older the book, the better it smells. I'm not talking about the old mouldy smell of an ill-kept book. I'm talking about the heartwarming smell of a book you've loved and kept for 20 years. So what is the smell of old books?
And after that one, we'll be looking at the sources of smelliness.
Hi, I'm John Montserrat from Cambridge, Mass. In the USA. When I hear music, I have a perception in my brain about how noisy it is. Loud things always feel loud to me, and quiet things always seem quiet, of course. It doesn't matter whether it's a high note or a low note or a trumpet or a piano, my sense of how big the noise is always accurate. So my question is, how accurate is my sense of bigness for smell? When I sense a very strong smell like rotten food, does that mean there's a lot of this odor in the air? Or can my nose play tricks on me by being super sensitive to some smells that are actually tiny?
So if you know what makes a book smell so good, or why one is more intense than the other, get in touch by emailing questionoftheweek@thenakedscientist.com or put your ideas in our forum. That's thenakedscientist.com/forum.
Were you into scratch and sniff, Diana?
It wasn't really.
Because I had a scratch and sniff sticker book. Did you have one of those?
No, I used to have scented pencils, though. That's quite good.
But I guess that's
it?
Not what he's asking. Diana O'Carroll, thank you very
All
much
right,
for joining
you.
Us for this week's Question of the Week.
Sorting out the sparks from the quarks. The Naked Scientists. For more information, get online at nakedscientists.com.